Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Hi, welcome to Sunday night. We're going to do a little bit of a continuation. I didn't realize last week that when I recorded this Treasure in Earthen Vessels, I thought that was a standalone unit. And afterwards, I was talking to the Lord. I felt like there was so much more He wanted to say. Lord willing, I'm going to do the best I can to say some more about it tonight. And if you didn't hear last week's message, it's called This Treasure in Earthen Vessels, Part 1. This is Part 2, and Lord willing, there will be a Part 3. Father God, I ask you to give me a special grace to say everything that you want to say, both tonight and for the next time. I feel like this is something special that you want to give your people, that you have given them, but you want to help us understand it more fully in Jesus' name. So just I'm going to do a little bit of review in case you didn't hear the first part. We talked about the scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And the English Standard Version says, with jars of clay, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That means the power that we're to manifest, we don't have it in our flesh, but it's the treasure in the earthen vessel that has the power, and that's your born-again spirit. And so last week, God had given me a little word picture or a parable. It's just a parable, so if you're a theologian, don't get mad at me. It's a word picture. And the parable he gave me was, imagine if you have a closet in your house, like we all do, and in your closet there's lots of stuff, right? Maybe a vacuum, maybe some vacuum cleaner bags, maybe some decorations you bring out once a year and they're in the top part, maybe some coats. It's a closet, right? And that this closet in our word picture or in our parable might represent you or me. It's our jar of clay. It's our earthen vessel, right? But the stuff inside might represent our soul, which is not our spirit man, but it's our mind, will, and emotions. It's our stuff, our personality, our memories, our issues, right? Some good, some not so good, right? And that's our soulish realm. So in your closet, before you got saved and after you get saved, your mind, will, and emotions might have memories, wounds, habits, issues, belief systems, doubts and fears. All kinds of stuff can be in this closet. Now, the picture of when you got born again, Jesus gave you, recreated your spirit man, but he didn't recreate your jar of clay, your flesh. He didn't recreate your soul, right? Your mind, will, and emotions didn't get recreated. That's why they need to be transformed. But he did give you something, and in our word picture, it's a treasure chest made of pure gold that you can open. It's like what I would call the new wine skin into which he can pour the new wine, which is the Holy Spirit. It's the new wine skin. So this treasure, right, is a treasure chest of pure gold. And the reason I say that, pure gold, is this spirit man is holy. Our soul, not so much. But of course, the scriptures say that he made him to be sin, or he became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So it isn't our soul that became righteous, it's our spirit man. So we were actually made holy in God's sight. And so we proved that a lot last week. Go back and listen to that if you want more proof on that. So we could imagine that in our closet, let's say the king comes to us and he gives us this amazing, beautiful, pure gold treasure chest, and he says, store this for me. And so that goes into our earthen vessel or our jar of clay. It goes into the closet, right? And maybe it's back on a shelf behind the vacuum and the stuff. And that's a pretty good picture, I think, of our condition, because we are so accustomed to dealing with the earth realm in our flesh and our mind and our will and our emotions But sometimes it takes a little digging for us to commune with our spirit. But here's the problem. Our spirit is what communes with God. Our spirit is what God is speaking to when he speaks. It's our spirit that houses the gifts. It's our spirit that operates, you know, by the Holy Ghost when we're to be used in speaking or in the gifts of the Spirit, etc. And so we have to come to a place where we can kind of work through our closet to get to that spirit man, to even understand what God is saying, or even to learn how to communicate with him well. So in Hebrews 4:12, I want to point this out, that some people don't really believe there's a difference between the soul and spirit, but here's why we believe it. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division," or the King James says, "the dividing asunder of soul and spirit." The word divides soul from spirit. Excuse me. My alarm went off. Hallelujah. So the soul and spirit are not the same thing. Now, Paul was talking about this issue in Romans 7. He actually talks a lot about this. He recognizes that his flesh is not perfect, and that in fact when he tries to do stuff in the flesh, he fails. So Romans 7:18 through 20, he says, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh." The King James says, "In my flesh dwells no good thing. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do. Instead, I keep on doing the evil I do not want to do. And if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it." So he's acknowledging that in his flesh, there is a sin nature in his flesh. That did not completely get, it was forgiven, right? We were recreated in our spirit man, but our flesh still has this Adam nature, Adamic nature, right? Because it says, "By the sin of one man, death passed on all men." We were all born into a sin nature. That's why we needed to be born again. So that's why we needed to be recreated in the image of Jesus. So the first verse we said, you know, the first verse I said, I referred to that the excellency, the power, may be of God and not of us. So what Paul's talking about is that if he tries to do stuff through his flesh or through his soulish realm, his mind, his will, and his emotions, he doesn't succeed. He fails. But if we are able to learn how to do it by the Spirit, that treasure chest or that communion with heaven, that treasure chest is like our communication box with heaven by the Holy Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit communicates to us the will of God. That's how we hear God sometimes. That's how we perceive Scripture. So it's very important. So it's as though, this is just a parable, but it's as though in our jars of clay or our earthen vessels, we have two engines. You know, imagine if you had a car that had two different engines and you could choose which one to operate. And let's say that your one engine is your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And let's say that that one generates earthly wisdom, fleshy knowledge, and generally speaking, fails in the end, right? Because it doesn't work the works of God. Or we have the treasure in earthen vessels, that born-again spirit, which is like another engine, and it gets its power and wisdom from the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ. It generates, according to the Scripture, it generates excellency, right? And so it would be better if we learned how to operate and do life, operate our jar of clay, operate our vessel by the power of that engine or that treasure in the earthen vessel. And the reason that's hard for people to do is most people don't know how to see it or even know it. If you don't know it by the word, I don't really know how we would have even known that it existed, right? If we didn't see it in the word, how would we even really understand what happened when we were born again? I mean, we had to have the word of God to explain to us that there's this thing going on the inside, if you're born again, that there's a new you. And that treasure chest of pure gold is considered holy by the Father because it was made in the very image of Jesus Christ. So in the closet that might be dusty, messy, not perfect, right? I think most of us could say that about our closet. I mean, our vessel. But God is looking at the holiness of the born-again spirit. He's communicating by the Holy Spirit to that spirit. And so to him, sometimes I think he wonders why we are condemning ourselves. He's aware we have a closet, and he's aware our closet has stuff that needs cleaning out. But he's also aware that he recreated your spirit man, which will help you work out your salvation. It helps you work out the junk in your closet. It helps you get delivered. It helps you be set free from habits. It helps you transform your mind. We can't do that without the Holy Spirit and without engaging our spirit man. And so we need to learn how to do that. So Romans 8, 6 through 10 says, to be carnally minded is death. Well, carnally minded just means of the senses, to operate by your earthly senses. We go by what we see. We make a decision out of our flesh. We go by what we hear. Oh, I got a bad report. I better do this. We figure it out in our head, or our emotions react. What is that? That is to be carnally minded, and it says it's death. That doesn't mean you physically die and go to heaven. Death means really separation from God, or it means to be carnally minded yields a kind of a death process in that the things you're trying to do won't work well, right? But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so if we can come to operate out of that born-again spirit, right, by communing with God, we will operate in life and peace, and our results in earthly things will be better. Because if we're confronted with a decision or a problem, or someone tries to give us trouble, or the enemy comes against us, if we react out of our soulish realm, our mind, will, and emotions, we probably won't win that war. But if we can kind of work through the closet and get to our spirit man, which is how you hear, that's where you hear, that's where you perceive heaven, that's where you relate to God, that's how you come to know who you are in Christ, is in your spirit man. And so if you can do that, then you're going to yield life and peace to that situation. So in every situation, it is far better if we can learn how to do it by the Spirit. So what are some of the problems we have with this? Some people might just ignore their closet altogether, like, that's too hard, I'm not open. Do you ever have something that's just too big a project? Well, some people's closet is that way, and mine was like that when I first got born again. I can't even begin to tell you how much junk was in my closet, because I had lived very badly and I had made very poor decisions. And so when I came to Christ, that stuff, it didn't all just leave immediately like you would wish. In fact, I had to, felt very guilty and condemned about it. I felt very, even though I was born again, I did not understand this concept, and I felt very much a mess. And so I felt shamed. I felt like afraid to go before God, because I didn't really have faith in what the Word said. I saw myself as unworthy, even though He had called me worthy, right? So I had believed a lie. So what some people might do is say, that's too hard, I'm ignoring that closet, I ain't opening that, that's too big a project. Or you open it and go, no, and you shut it, right? Or some people might, I've met some people who go to church, live life, do the best, hope for the best outcome, but really don't get too involved with their relationship with God, right? May be born again. There's some people that are born again, but it's a very shallow relationship. They don't much go into the closet, and they don't really develop a relationship, a personal relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. It's more of a, I'm going to go to church, do the best I can, hope I get in at the end, you know. And so God is looking for a relationship, and the biggest thing He wants you to know is that He loves you no matter what your condition is. He loves you. His love is, it never fades, it's never moved. He loves you. So some people might just ignore the whole thing because it's just too hard to deal with. Or sometimes, imagine you might open the closet and there's this big strip of police tape. Do not enter. Did you ever see that police tape? You can't cross it. And that might be doubt and fear. This is too hard. Oh, what? This is just too much. I can't deal with this. It's too messed up. Or shame. Do you ever feel shame because of something that happened to you, or something could be years ago? I remember doing a women's conference years ago, and there was hundreds of women in this auditorium, and I was standing at the keyboard, and all of a sudden I looked up and I saw that many of these women were in the spirit, were wearing black cloaks of shame, and they had things happen to them. Some had been abused, some just grew up being verbally abused. Not all of them had it, but many had these cloaks of shame, and because of it, it was very hard to connect to God and be able to receive His love. And God gave me what to say, and I saw these cloaks just fall to the ground. Just in a moment, God released them. I didn't do it. God did it. He released them. And imagine being free from shame. Now you can run to your Father and feel accepted, even if you're not perfect. That's an awesome thing, right? And that should be our condition. None of us are perfect in our flesh. Even Paul, the Apostle Paul, admitted that in his flesh, he was not perfect. He said, it dwelt no good thing. The stuff I try to do, I can't do it. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest men that's ever lived, and yet he understood this concept, but he also knew that he was close to his Father through Jesus Christ our Lord, through his born-again spirit. So that's an amazing thing. So God doesn't want you to walk in shame, condemnation, or guilt. It's okay to acknowledge, I have some issues, but God is going to help me with them. God loves me. He's helping me. And if I continue to work with Him, He's going to help me. Because how can you get rid of issues? By communing with Him. How do you commune with Him? Through that born-again spirit, that pure gold treasure chest. So let's just say there's so much stuff in the closet, you can't even really see the treasure chest. Not sure what to do with all of it, so you just walk away, phew, you know. Or what about fear of looking into the closet because of what you might find? I'm not even looking. I don't want to know. Or a false belief system in your soul or in your closet that says, there's just too much stuff here. God doesn't even want to deal with me, so I'm not going to try. I learned something a few years ago. I've been preaching for a long time and often have preached against guilt and condemnation because it's so crippling. I hate that thing. It is a foul spirit, or can be. It can also be a false belief system. And I dealt with it. It was too hard. And I noticed that for some reason, some people could get free and others did not. And one day I was praying with someone, and this clarity from heaven had to come from heaven. I began to realize that I was saying the words, I was quoting the scriptures, and they were hearing them, but what they were seeing was God showed me these filthy rags that could never be cleaned, like if you had rags that were so oil and grease stained, just had stuff on them that could never come out in the natural. And what some people may think the false belief system isn't that God doesn't forgive. They can believe that God can forgive others, but they think, but I'm unforgivable. You hear the difference? They can believe that God is a good God and He forgives, but that applies to everybody else, but not me, because I'm unforgivable. That is a lie from the devil. Because God, really, He didn't just forgive you, He recreated you. And He recreated you in the perfection with which He created you before the fall. I know that sounds strange, but that's how He sees you. He sees you in the Spirit as perfect and holy. He knows we have issues. He's not blind. He knows. But He also knows you're my son, you're my daughter. And while we're working on that stuff, I consider you holy because you love Jesus, because you're born again, because of that born-again spirit. If you're not born again, you need to be, because that's the only way to walk in forgiveness, walk in mercy, and walk in relationship with God. So here's another thing. Some people actually have this belief system. I have the world's greatest vacuum cleaner. My closet is so in order. I've never looked in the treasure chest, mind you, but I'm doing pretty good, and I think that God is pleased because they're actually pleased with their flesh. It's a pride thing, and it's a false judgment is what it is, because our flesh stinks. I don't care how skilled you are, how smart you are, how educated you are, how much Bible you know. Your flesh still stinks. Hallelujah. But if you're born again, your spirit man is holy. So here's some things I want to say. God communicates with you through your born-again spirit. That's who he's talking to. That image of Jesus. It's holy you and holy like Jesus, right? It's the new self. He communicates with that spirit man, not so much with your mind, will, and emotions. So if you have too much stuff in your closet, sometimes it's hard to hear. People say, people will come up to me. They'll say, God doesn't talk to me like he does to you. Yeah, he talks to you exactly like he talks to me. But the difference is, it took me some years to traverse my mind, will, and emotions, and to even understand how to commune with God, how to go into that place, into a place of rest where I can commune with him by the Spirit and not my mind, not my outer ears, right? Not my emotions, because that's not how he's speaking. So he is speaking to every born-again child. What did Jesus say? My sheep know my voice. He didn't say my baby lambs, but as we grow in God, it took me years, it took me a long time to figure it out. But I believe God wants you to know that you too can work through this. And I'm going to tell you some things that will help, and we'll go deeper next week. But he is looking into that holy, pure, lovely treasure chest and seeing the holiness of his son Jesus that he put into you. He is focusing on the real you, which is your born-again spirit. That's the real you. Now, when you pray in the name of Jesus, you instantly invoke your spirit communing with him. The minute you say in the name of Jesus, because now you are approaching the Father in Jesus' stead, or Jesus is standing in your place. It is as though he were speaking to the Father in your behalf. When you say in the name of Jesus, it's like, as though I were Jesus standing here talking to you, Father, I'm making a request in behalf of Holly, right? So if I go to my Father and I say, and then I'm asking you to help me get rid of this habit, or I'm asking you, Father, to forgive me of this habit and help me be set free. If I need a little deliverance, Lord, I'm asking you to deliver me in the name of Jesus. I'm saying as though Jesus himself were standing here saying this to you, legally, judicially, I'm coming before you asking you to deliver Holly, deliver my soul, or whatever the request is. So you are speaking to the Father in his own holiness, not ours, but the holiness of Jesus that he gave you, the gift of righteousness. Again, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness. And so this is why this scripture confuses people, because they say, well, if I became the righteousness, why do I still have these thoughts? Or why do I still have issues? Why do I still have habits? And this is why, because it's a treasure in an earthen vessel. It's a golden treasure chest in a very junky closet. Okay. And so this is also why you can come boldly to the throne of grace, right? Remember the scriptures, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, because God has given you this holy access point. Now, Lord willing, next week I'm going to talk about if you were able, let's say that you were able to clear your closet out, or at least clear it out enough to be able to go in and open that pure gold treasure chest, right? Let's say that you were able to do that. And let's say that you were able to peer into it. Now, this is just a parable, okay, just a word picture. But let's say that you were able to do that. You would find a connection to heaven, a communication with God. You would find yourself able to hear or perceive what the Holy Spirit was saying, you might find you suddenly understand a scripture that you didn't really understand before, right? Because your carnal mind didn't understand it. But now when you open that, you're dealing now with the mind of Christ, which is in the Spirit. Okay. I just want to... You're not approaching him with your flesh or your issues, but in his holiness, so you can ask him for help with the stuff in your closet, and he will hear and help. Now, does it take more than one time? Yeah, sometimes. There was some things I've gotten free in an instant. You know, Jesus helped me, boom, free. There are some things that I had to pray a lot, and really what I needed was the key to my deliverance or the key to my freedom. But as I sought the Lord, and sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes it takes some time. Don't be discouraged. Remember Hebrews 10:14. It says, for by one sacrifice, Jesus Christ, he has forever made perfect those who are being made holy. That is a perfect picture of this closet. He has forever made perfect those who are being made holy. We are in the flesh being made holy. We are hopefully working out our salvation. The Bible says to work it out. Work out those issues. Work out those things. Don't just say, well, it's justified. Jesus died for me. I can live any way I want. Don't ever do that. Grace was never a license to continue in sin. Never. And God doesn't want us to sin because it harms us. It opens a door to the devil who will clobber us, right? So we don't ever want to open that door. So God does love holiness, but holiness comes where? Out of that treasure chest. It is a outworking of your communion with God. So when you want to be set free, or you want to get rid of a habit, or you want to change some of your thinking, it is communion with God, communion with his word, communion through your born-again spirit, communion with him that causes holiness to be in. Outworking of that relationship. It's not outward stuff that you do. That's not holiness. Holiness is his nature coming through your born-again spirit, working out through your stuff, right? Setting you free and causing you to be able to speak the words of God, right? Prophecy can only come from the spirit realm, right? And so there has to be an outworking of his nature through us. And I'm telling you, this is the only way to do it. So, he is seeing you as his treasure. You know, there's a wonderful scripture that says, you are God's treasure. Isn't that amazing? You are his beloved. And while you are working through your stuff, he is loving you. And he's seeing you as holy. So, the next time, Lord willing, that you see me on here, I'll probably be talking, if the Lord gives me clarity on it, I'll probably be talking about what, first of all, how to get to the spirit realm, right? How to hear, but more than that, how to connect with him, and what might be some of the things that might happen if you're able to commune with God in through your born-again spirit or in the spirit, right? Remember, those who are led by the Spirit of God, they shall be called the sons of God. And that's because if you're continually communing with the Father in that way, things from heaven begin to pour through you. They begin to help you. They begin to help you think differently, change the way you see things. Sometimes I'll be just hanging out with God or resting, and all of a sudden I'll realize, it just happened to me this week, I've been doing a lot of just communion with God, just hanging out with him in relationship and resting in him and praying, but not like interceding, but just hanging out with my beloved, right? And I can't say that he spoke to me in words, but it's like suddenly I just begin to realize, oh, I have become too business-like in my relationship, you know, because I have a lot of business that needs attending, right? If you're a minister, you're constantly, there's just a lot of stuff you have to do. But it's like I suddenly became aware, you know, oh, I need to make an adjustment, you know, Because I remember before I was in the ministry, God means to hang out. We still do. We hang out all the time. But I realized just, he didn't say it. He didn't speak it. It was just like, I'm in his presence. I just knew. And so we've been having a blast because I've gone back to just being with him. Just, I mean, I've always hung out with him. That's not changed by any means. And we've always had a great time. We're good friends. I consider us good friends. But, you know, sometimes your first love, it's not that you love him less, but sometimes it can morph. You know, if God has become like the great project manager helps you with your to-do list, might be something wrong. So probably not giving us the right words, but what I'm trying to say is sometimes when you're fellowshipping with him in that place, it's not that he speaks to you in an audible voice or even an inside voice. Sometimes you just come out of that place and you just know. You just have a knowing, oh, I need to do this, or oh, I've looked at that the wrong way, right? And so there's this continual correction. So if you're a person that doesn't like correction, you probably won't like the holy place. But the correction is never to make you feel bad or to make you feel rejected. It's always to help you grow ever closer and ever stronger and ever more powerful in the spirit. Amen. So God loves you. I love you. And we'll talk to you next week. And by the way, go back. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to part one. Okay. Okay. I love you. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.